Greetings in the Lord Jesus Christ. Overcomers.ca The New Jerusalem. Chapter 4. From Firmament to Firmament. Scriptures. And God said, Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament, and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. Genesis 1:6-10. And God said, Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good, and the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Genesis 1:14-19. And Scripture. When God created the heavens and the earth, he had a purpose that was only partly demonstrated in the original creation. That purpose of God I want to name right at the start of this study on the New Jerusalem, which is revealed to us as the mystery of the wisdom of God, or if you will, the mystery of God. His purpose or desire to finish this creation. 1 Corinthians 2:7-8 says, But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. And Revelation 10:6-11 says, And swear by him that liveth for ever and ever, who created heaven, and the things that are therein are, and the earth, and the things that therein are, and the sea, and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared unto his servants the prophets. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, Go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, Give me the little book. And he said unto me, Take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, Thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. Revelation 10:6-11, as I mentioned earlier. God, in the beginning of his wisdom, created a single firmament with a separation above and below the firmament of the canopy of the sky and below the earth with the oceans. But in the spirit, this division was part of his wise workings and purpose to bring a conclusion to what he began. For the firmament says to me that God will bring a completion to this creation, a completion in righteousness and in holiness. All that is under the firmament and all that is above the firmament are in the purpose of God to become one in a perfected creation with no duality. The question arises constantly as to why God allowed his creation to fall into such depravity. The earth is reeling under the firmament of heaven because of the weight of the mystery of iniquity. This mystery works below the firmament as one half of the purpose of God. Above the firmament, the heavens themselves are not entire without the physical creation below the firmament. Hence the cleansing needed of the heavens and the earth. And this cleansing is by the judgment of fire. I see the firmament in three examples in Scripture. Number one, the original singular firmament in creation in the verses above. This brought a separation of light from darkness, day from night, the expanse of holiness from the earth in its created confinement, ordained to enter the curse of the fall. I see the firmament in three examples in Scripture. Number two, I see Christ as the head of his body, the church, with Christ being above the firmament and his body being below the firmament on earth, as a second example of the firmament with heaven above and earth below. And three, and I see the New Jerusalem as the holy city of God, with no defilement, as being above the firmament of the earth, with the nations within it as being below the firmament and in defilement. It is in this third example that God is working the mystery of the wisdom of God to bring the two sides together into one within the firmament itself. The other two examples of the firmament are also working in the mystery of God. But it is this third example I wish to concentrate on. The entire purpose of God is summed up in the description in Revelation 21, verses 1 to 7, when the New Jerusalem, which is in the firmament above, is brought to encompass and manifest itself in the firmament below, the present world, subject to death and dying. Now I know that the few paragraphs above are rather hard to understand. So to simplify what I just said, to simplify it, just think of it this way. One, God is going to bring heaven to earth. Two, God is going to combine that which is holy in spirit with that which is natural on earth. And no one will be left out of this working. For the mysteries of God, all 16 of them must be completed. There will be no mysteries when the creation of God is done, for all will be consummated in Christ. This includes the mystery of iniquity, we see as the most prominent one at this time, when the earth is filled with violence, deception, false religious efforts, and wars on every hand. Each of these mysteries shall be completed in due order. God, when he created the firmament above and the earth below, designed that firmament to become one in his purpose. For God was satisfied with how this began and saw that it was very good. But in the end, it will not only be very good, but very perfect. For the purpose of God is the New Jerusalem, the city of God, Zion, the perfection of holiness, the kingdom of his anointing, which will encompass all creation in perfect holiness. I'll read that again. But in the end, it will not only be very good, but very perfect. For the purpose of God is the New Jerusalem, the city of God, Zion, the perfection of holiness, the kingdom of his anointing, which will encompass all creation in perfect holiness. Just as Genesis saw this creation begin, so the descent of the New Jerusalem will finish creation. The mystery of God at that point will be completed. The work of creation as relates to holiness will be done. God will then be all in all, or if you will, everything to everyone and everything in everyone. No one exempt, not one soul. Note this carefully. The mystery of God, or the wisdom of God, is holy, and no one can be equal to that holiness. No one measures up. Jesus alone was a full expression of this holiness, and thank God he said he had a church, for he went to prepare a mansion for us. I say to you this day that when Jesus declared that he was preparing a mansion for us, that mansion is in the New Jerusalem. Your mansion is in the New Jerusalem. That is where your mansion is. And that means that your mansion will not be somewhere in the sky, but it will be here on the earth. And it is prepared for you. But first, Jesus, as a pattern son, was an example of dying to self. And so must we all follow this example. The end of your life, dear reader, will be these five things. 1, pure holiness in. 2, eternal life in. 3, your mansion in. 4, the New Jerusalem on. 5, the earth. And I'll read it all like one sentence now. Pure holiness in, eternal life in, your mansion in, the New Jerusalem on the earth. For heaven and earth will no longer be divided by the firmament. That is the latter working of God in finishing his creation. But first, the mystery of God must be completed, both above and below the original created firmament. This mystery must be completed on the earth. It must be completed in the heavens. For both realms, there was once a division of night from day and the creation of time to the conclusion of that created origin where time is no more. Everything must enter then this eternal state. And this will only happen when the New Jerusalem descends to take its place upon the earth. The purpose of God, the mystery of God, the mystery of the wisdom of God will be fulfilled when the natural is enveloped by the spiritual. Know this, dear reader. First, you must walk out the mystery of iniquity under the firmament, which is where you are. This mystery is working in you to bring to full measure your carnal nature. This carnal nature is that part of your life which must be put off at the manifestation of the New Jerusalem. God has ordained that your spiritual nature and your carnal nature both come to full fruition. Both grow together. Both are measured and weighed together in your life. You come to full growth in duality. Again, and be honest, think about it. You come to full growth in duality. And it is here, under the firmament, which separates heaven from earth, that you need to walk this out, and that this duality is destroyed by fire, even the fire of God's holiness, or if you will, by the baptism of fire. Each time you yield to righteousness in you, to righteous responses, to negative situations or relationships, each time you do that, the fire will burn. When your response to your overcomer to a testing is one where you yield to that which would honor God and diminish you, then the fire burns. The fire consumes and burns that duality. It bears about in it the flames of judgment. When you do not react to a situation in your carnality, you will overcome. If you yield to the personality of Jesus in you, then the fire will burn off the carnality. This is the practical outworking of the cross in you. It is the cross born and seen by God as you die to self. Again, it is the cross born, B-O-R-N-E, to bear up, and seen by God as you die to self. Note this, dear reader. God has ordained that all mankind enter the New Jerusalem. But the ungodly are seen outside that city in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, the reserved spot for those who did not conquer in this life, who did not obey this mandate of Scripture to put down their own carnal thoughts, who abode in unbelief, who entered not in to the promises of God. In-to the promises of God. Into the promises of God. Who did not bring in to obedience every thought under the rule of Jesus. Who did not cast down every vain imagination. Who did not perform their conquering walk in the total victory of their risen Lord. Those who held to their religious tradition, to their carnality, to the works and efforts of the flesh, and of the pride of race and denomination, these all have their part first in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone to have this death removed from them. The ungodly, who thus are placed through this fiery lake, will no longer have that duality. No longer will they bear this sinful condition. No longer will they resist the holiness of God. No longer will they abide in death. The lake of fire is only an eternal state for that part of their lives which could never be made right, even in the realm of death, which, in this lake, will die. The lake that burns with fire and brimstone is eternal death to carnality. Again, the lake that burns with fire and brimstone is eternal death to carnality. And note this also, no one is exempt from the process of this fire. No one is exempt from the process of this fire. Not the overcomer, not the ungodly. Each one is ordained of God to endure the second death. Each one, even the overcomers, you spiritual ones, each one is ordained of God to endure the second death. Each one will learn to die to self. But they that overcome shall not be hurt of the second death. The baptism of fire, the lake of fire, it is all the same fire. One now or one then. There is no such thing as anyone being left out of the New Jerusalem. But know this, men shall enter the city of God when there is nothing left in them to burn or that resembles death. Again, men shall enter the city of God when there is nothing left in them to burn or that resembles death. The Lord Jesus Christ was the first example of this. He came from the elements and the atmosphere above the firmament. He descended to the swaddling cloths of confinement, in a manger, and then in the life of self-denial, he died to this which is fallen, in the lower half of the firmament. Then, when he ascended after his resurrection, He was exemplary in joining the two realms together in one, as a type and shadow of what God would do when the New Jerusalem is finally manifested in the earth. Jesus alone did this. No man came from heaven or can say they remember a time when they were with God in heaven. This was a work that belonged to Jesus alone, no one else. But the time will come when we too will share in his resurrection and will ascend to the atmosphere above the firmament, where a natural will be swallowed up by the spiritual. Here is the key element to my understanding of the world above and below the firmament. The natural creation will be swallowed up of the spiritual creation until both are one creation in the firmament. For the purpose of God, in the mystery of God, or in the wisdom of God, was that there would be no division from that which was below the firmament and that which is above the firmament. God has ordained that the firmament contain the full expression of the life of God without measure in the New Jerusalem. Again, God has ordained that the firmament contain the full expression of the life of God without measure in the New Jerusalem. The glory of this absolutely consumes me every day of my life. It is not wishful thinking. This is not a hopeful one day. It is a very real promise. The Lord is going to conclude all things into Christ, and there will be no one left out. No division, no death, no curse. The gates stand open, dear reader, and the New Jerusalem will remain until all creation has entered into this city, there to walk on the singular golden street and to eat of the tree of life in the midst of the paradise of God. Dear reader, your end is eternal in the New Jerusalem. This dimension of God will not end. And the verses above from Genesis chapter 1, verses 14 to 19, we have this depiction by John the Revelator. Quote, "And I went unto the angel and said unto him, Give me the little book. And he said unto me, Take it, and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand, and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter." This promise of God to John and to humanity was indeed a sweet promise, but the working out of it is hard to endure. The process of creation and humanity, going through the fires of cleansing, is hard. The angel which holds this book is standing upon the sea, brackets, humanity, and on the earth, brackets, where the curse presently is. From this angel's hand, John takes the little book and eats it. Sweet in his mouth, because the promise of God is sure, but bitter in his belly, because of the testing needed to come to this sure promise. What is the testing? It is the endurance of the second death by fire. What is the fire? God himself. For our God is a consuming fire. In other words, God sent the creation below the firmament into the realm of death. Then he redeems it back by the processings of fire. If you will, God sends creation into the delusion of captivity, that he, by his own nature, will consume it back into himself. And what is the promise that God will consume death off of all creation? The promise is the new Jerusalem, the kingdom of his anointing, Zion, the place wherein the hopeful rest, the fountain of living waters. It is here that the threshold of the throne of God is issued forth as streams of living waters. No one is exempt from this promise. But at the present, the overcomers are enduring this fire now. They are going through right responses and activities now. They are dying to carnality now. They are obeying the scriptures now. They do not assume that it is all done, that it is a finished, completed work in the rest of humanity. But they know that in time, this work shall be accomplished in all they who enter in each of their own due order. The overcomers have a singular vision, and that is the kingdom of God on the earth. For the descent of the new Jerusalem signals the end of their hope. It is hope fulfilled. This is still a future event. Let no one tell you it has already happened. For if there be death anywhere on the earth, and if there be yet any lost soul, then the new Jerusalem has not yet descended. Oh yes, the ungodly cannot enter this city, but they will when their ungodliness is removed from them. For the new Jerusalem, abiding on the earth in holiness, and the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, work to the same end. For the lake burns to remove death, so that the one thus processed has a right to be saved and to enter by the gates into this city of God. Know this, dear reader. No one will be left outside the gates of this city except for that carnal part of each one of us which Jesus will not save. The one thing that will not be in this city will be that which is the fruit of the curse of the fall. But the soul that was thus under the curse will be free. Look not away to another location for the city of God to come, for it is to the earth, under the original firmament, that the city is coming to. The spiritual will overtake and consume the natural. To be continued, Kenneth B. Vischer.